Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. When you have it, say amen. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Sound like some of us. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meetings and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff. And you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels. Must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out. And the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. I want to talk about for just a few minutes the danger of anger. Repeat after me, the danger of anger. The danger of anger. Let me begin by saying that anger in itself is not a negative emotion. Anger is not a negative emotion. God got angry. God got angry. The Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So anger in itself is not a negative emotion. Matter of fact, Jesus got angry when he went to the temple. You remember when he went to the temple and he saw that they had turned his father's house into a den of thieves. And he whipped them out. Threw them out. Anger in itself is not a negative emotion. Matter of fact, Ephesians 4 says, be angry. Be angry. Go ahead. Be angry. Sin. Sin. Now, there's some things that ought to make you angry. And you look at the conditions of our world, you ought to get angry. When families are losing their homes so that unscrupulous lenders can make a profit, it ought to make you angry. When CEOs make more in 10 minutes than the ordinary worker makes in a whole year, it ought to make you angry. When veterans are sleeping on the streets of our cities, it ought to make you angry. When one out of five American children lives in poverty, it ought to make you angry. When last week there were 402,000 jobless claims, it ought to make you angry. When we live in a nation that would rather spend money on guns and bullets than bread and butter, it ought to make you angry. When Congress will support a dummy for 8 years but won't get behind a scholar for 4 years, it ought to make you angry. Itself is not a negative emotion. Rather, write this down. Anger is an emotional alarm system that tells us we have feelings of hostility. It's an emotional alarm system that tells us we have feelings of hostility. And it's when anger gets out of control that people can do some pretty nasty and terrible things. And so I thought for a few moments we would look at the story of Moses, because there's four lessons that can help us control our anger, because anger, like fire, can be dangerous when it gets out of control. Anger like fire can be harmful when it gets out of control. Anger like fire can be destructive. When it gets out of control.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, write down the word anger. Write it. Write down the word anger. Write down the word anger. Now put a D in front of the A. Danger. So that's why, hear me. That's why you need to control your anger, because anger is one letter short of danger. And so the first thing we learn from Moses, write this down, is we need to get before God with upsetting situations. Write this down. We have to restrain ourselves when dealing with angry people. Write that down. We have to restrain ourselves when dealing with angry people, because if you look at the text, everyone in this congregation was reinforcing each other's frustration when they all decided to get together and let Moses and Aaron have it. And everybody in this big meeting was pointing the finger at Moses. You ain't no leader, man. You ain't no pastor. You done brought us out here to die. Man, you should have just left us in Egypt. Man, ain't no pomegranates out here. Man, ain't no grapevines out here. Ain't no water, man. Now, if you are an anger-prone person, this is the perfect formula for an altercation. See, that's why you have to restrain yourself when angry people engage you. Because when angry people come at you wrong, things can escalate. Things can go to another level. And I need to remind y'all, Moses wasn't a punk. He had killed before. So the text shows you he had come a long way, because he could have said, look, won't you come up here and say that to my face? No, come on up here, Cletus. It ain't nothing but a short walk. Come on up here. But the text shows he had come a long way. And I need to tell y'all in here, you still dangerous. Yeah, you still dangerous. Just because you don't do what you used to do, that don't mean you don't know what you used to know. I'm preaching here. Just because you don't do what you used to do, that don't mean you don't know who you used to know. I feel like that rapper, don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It makes me wonder sometimes. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't no killer, but don't push me. That's why I pray for Dr. Ray. Don't get it twisted. you have to restrain yourself. And see, one thing I like about new cars they have out now, and I said it before, one thing I like about new cars they have out now, see, some folk you ride with, they like it hot, but see, they can have it as hot as they want it. You control the temp on your side. And one thing I like about life, don't let nobody set your temper. I wish I had a witness. Don't let nobody take you there. You control the temp on your, you ain't responsible for how they treat you, but you are responsible for how you treat them. You ain't got to answer for their action, but you have to answer for your reaction. Slap somebody and say, stay cool. I know they're acting a fool, but stay cool. I know they're scandalizing your name, but stay cool. I know they're criticizing you, but stay cool. And I need to remind us in here again, God did not call us to be thermometers. He called us to be thermostats. And you see, a thermometer just gets even. A thermometer just registers the temperature. If it's 70, a thermometer go up to 70. 75, a thermometer go up to 75. If it's 80, a thermometer go up to 80. In other words, a thermometer say, we can take it wherever you want to take it. Won't take it outside. We can take it outside. You want to cut? We can cut. Want to fight? We can fight. Want to act a fool? We can act a, we can act a, you ain't the only one with a gun. You ain't the only one that can cut. Where you want to go? And see, you got to watch getting even, because when you get even, you get on the same level your enemies are. And Big Mama said, two wrongs don't make nothing right. Somebody got to have some sense. Tell your neighbor, don't you let them take you there. You see, a thermostat has power to change the temp. God called you to be a thermostat. He said, I'm giving you power to be my witnesses. I want you to change the temp. You don't have to go there. And that's what's wrong in the body of Christ now. We got too many thermometers and not enough thermostats. I can tell you a thermometer, because the person next to you dead, you dead. They ain't saying nothing, you ain't saying nothing. They ain't praising God, you ain't praising God. You a thermometer, you registering their temperature. But you see, a thermostat says, I bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast.
Yes, sir.
You have to restrain yourself. When dealing with angry people, when dealing with messed up people, when dealing with haters, when dealing with liars, you have to restrain. Look at the text. Moses doesn't even respond to them. They're coming at him all wrong. Man, you ain't no leader. Man, you done brought us out here. You should just left us in Egypt. Man, ain't no pomegranates out here, man. Ain't no grapevines out here. Man, ain't no water. Moses doesn't even respond. He doesn't reply. He doesn't retort. He doesn't say anything. Hear me. You have to learn, write this down somewhere. Many times, hear me, you have to learn how to hold your peace in order to keep the peace. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. Many times you have to hold your peace in order to keep.
Yes, sir, you preaching.
Some folk don't even deserve a response. You gotta learn how to shut up. When people are coming at you wrong, when people are talking to you crazy, you ain't got to talk crazy. Learn how to be quiet. It's in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, study to be quiet. It's in your Bible if you ain't taking it out. It says, study to be, learn to shut up. Practice keeping your mouth closed. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. And it says, study to be quiet. Why does it say study to be quiet? Because for many of us, this don't come natural. You got to learn to shut up. Socrates said, I'm going to teach y'all two things. He told his students, Mitch, he said, I'm going to teach y'all two things. He said, the first thing I'm going to teach y'all is how to hold your tongue.
And then he said, the second thing I'm going to teach you is how to use your tongue. And every child of God needs to know those two things. We need to learn how to hold our tongue, and we need to learn how to use our tongue. It said, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, study to be quiet. Then the next part says, mind your own business. It's in your Bible. It said, mind your own business. See, if you mind your own business, you ain't got that much to say. Study to be quiet. Mind your own business. You need to get some business and mind it. Y'all ain't playing with me here. I tell you, the church would grow if folk would shut up and mind their own. We wouldn't have enough room in here if folk would learn to shut up and mind. Oh, they're getting a divorce. That ain't your business. Oh, you know they are separated. That ain't your business. You know they fought. That ain't your business. You know the police arrested them. That ain't your business. Somebody look up toward heaven and say, Lord, help me to mind my own business. Study to be quiet, mind your own business, work with your own hands, just as we commanded you, so your daily life will win the respect of outsiders. Which means one reason why we're losing the respect of outsiders and we're losing the respect even of our enemies is because we don't know how to shut up, mind our own business, and work with our own hands. That's why a lot of folk outside won't come inside, because folk inside don't know how to shut up, mind their own business, and work. See, a tongue 3 inches long can kill a man 6 feet tall. That fish would have made it had he kept his mouth closed. What gets a fish filleted and fried and served and ate up is his mouth. Preach, Bailey. They ain't saying nothing. Lord, help me to shut up. And many times, Dr. Ray, many times being like Christ is keeping our mouth closed. It is, because Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted. And Dr. Payne, he opened not his mouth. All right. And then it says, as sheep are silent before its shearers, he opened not his mouth. 2 times in one verse. It reports he opened not when folk were verbally abusing him. That's mocking. He opened not his mouth. When they were playing mind games with him, that spit. All right. He opened not his mouth. When they were killing him.
Yeah.
When they were killing him. I'm trying to tell you, when folk, like Dr. Ray, when folk are verbally abusing you on the radio, dogging you, cussing out your family, when folk are dogging you, you got to learn to be quiet. When folk are playing mind games with you, making you think they with you when they really ain't with you, making you think they for you when they really ain't for you, even when folk are killing you, you have to learn to shut up. Somebody's husband is killing them, but be quiet. Somebody's wife is killing them, but just hold your peace. The Bible even tell wives, if your husbands obey not the word, they may without a word be won. While they behold your conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning is not the outward adorning, the pleading of the hair, the weighing of jewelry, but the hidden man of the heart, a meek and quiet.
Yes, sir.
You can win people without a word.
My.
With my navigation system right now, I got that Tom navigation system. but I turn the volume down on it. As he just talks, you know. I get tired of the talking. I turn the volume down and I say, just show me. Time out for talking is just show. I wish I had a witness in me. Because hear me, watch this. Before you got saved, don't miss this. Before you got saved, the devil wanted your soul. But now that you're saved, he wants your witness. See, when he lost your soul, now he wants your witness. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so, since he lost your soul, now he wants your witness. And what better way to get you to lose your witness than get you upset? Because if he can get you angry enough, you'll start saying words that ain't in the Bible. See, the world is a jury. The world is in the jury. They have to make a decision about Christ. The unsaved is in the jury. They have to make a decision about Christ. We are on the witness stand. And what the devil is trying to do, he's trying to get us upset on the witness stand so he can prove we're not a credible witness. And so he tries to get you angry. He sends folk to get you angry because he wants to prove you're not a credible witness. So that's why some of your husbands won't come to church with you, because it's hard to cuss him out and then ask him to come to church. He tell you, now that's why I don't go with you right there. What you just called me? Well, no, the preacher know you cuss like that? That church know? See, that's why I don't go with you. What you just called me? What book of the Bible that's in? See, watch what Moses does. Don't miss point number two. He restrains himself when dealing with angry people. They're coming at him wrong. And point number two is this. He gets before God with this upsetting situation. When they get through coming at him all wrong, you ain't no leader, man. You brought us out here to die. Man, ain't no pomegranates out here, man. Ain't no mines out here, man. Ain't no water. You ain't no leader. You're fake, man. You ain't real. He doesn't even reply. The Bible says, if you look at the text, he just goes to the entrance of the tent of meetings. And he gets on his face before the Lord. He gets before God with an upsetting situation. Watch this. He leaves the presence of people and he gets into the presence of God. He gets away from the source of his agitation and he gets in the presence of the source of his strength. Y'all ain't praying with me here. You got to get away many times from the source of your agitation and get in the presence of the source of your strength, because it takes God to handle people. It takes God to deal with haters. It takes God to deal with liars. It takes God. That's why the Bible tells you pray for those that persecute you. Get before God with the one that's hurting you. Get before God with the one that's bringing tears to your eyes. Get before God with the one that broke your heart. Call their name to the Lord in prayer. Call that radio announcer's name to the Lord in prayer. Some of us trying to figure out why folk haven't changed. You ain't prayed for them. I wish I had a witness in here. We got to pray for our enemies. You got to pray for those that are dogging you, those that are hurting you. Because God made the one that's hurting you. And anybody God makes, he can fix. I wish I had a witness in here. That's why you need to take them to the Lord in prayer. See, when you pray for your enemies, you take your enemies where they don't want to go. I wish I had a witness in here. When you pray for them, you take them. Pray for that coworker that's constantly giving you hell. Call her name tonight. Pray for that baby mama. Pray for that baby daddy. Hello, somebody. Pray. For that deacon that's giving you so much hell in your church. Pray. Look at Moses. Jones, look at him. Watch this. Watch him. He gets low. he gets low. See, one reason why a lot of us can't handle our enemies, you're too high. You got to get low. You see, in the Marine Corps, they teach you to low crawl. See, when you know the enemy's shooting, you have a better chance of surviving if you stay low. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. You have a better chance of making it if you stay low. You pop up too high, they'll blow your head off. You got to stay low. And when you know the devil is shooting fiery darts at you, when you know he's trying to take you out, when you know he's trying to take your position, when you know he's trying to take your prestige, you have to stay low. You have a better chance of making it if you stay. Matter of fact, Jesus said, stay low. He said, humble yourself. Why? Because if you get too high, he said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a great fall. See, in football, they teach you, stay low. In order to tackle big issues, you got to get low. You stand straight up, they're going to knock you on your tail. You have to. I'm telling you, in life, in order to tackle big issues, you got to. Kind of remind me, love. This little boy was in bed, and he had a picture of Jesus on his headboard of his bed, and he had a mirror at the foot of his bed. And as he lay down in bed, he could see the reflection of Jesus in the mirror. But when he sat up, he couldn't see the reflection of Jesus no more on his headboard. But when he laid down, he could see the reflection of Jesus in the mirror. He said, Mama, come here! Mama, come here! Mama came running in. What is it, baby? He said, Mama, come look at this. Mama, look at this. Mama said, Mama, watch this. Whenever I get in the way, I can't see Jesus. But when I get out the way, Mama, look, there he is right there, Mama. He said, but Mama, when I get in the way, I can't see him. But when I get out the way, there he is. He said, Mama, if I stay out the way, I can continue to see him. Y'all ain't praying with me here. One reason why some of y'all can't see him, you in the way. Your power's in the way. Your clothes is in the way. Your shoes is in the way. Your position is in the way. But if you want God to make a way, if you want God to provide a way, you got to move. Get out the way. Look at somebody and say, move. Get out the way.
Pop, look at him, Pop. Look at him, Tito. Look at him, Jimson. He gets low. And one thing I like about Moses, it wasn't all about work. It was about worship. Now, mind you, in verse 1, his sister just died. So he's grieving. His sister was his heart. She helped him make it. It was his sister. With the mama that put him in a basket and put him on the Nile River. It was his sister that watched the basket all the way to Pharaoh's daughter's house. It was his sister when Pharaoh's daughters found him, ran over and said, you want me to get one of them Hebrew women to help you with this baby? Said, yeah. It was his sister that ran and got Moses' mama. Said, come on, mama, we got Moses. It was his sister that helped him make it. Now she's dead. And the congregation doesn't even show any remorse for his loss. They don't even pray for him. Now they coming at him all wrong. Man, you ain't no leader. You done brought us out here to die. You should have, that's enough to make anybody snap.
Look at what he does. He goes to worship. And see, I bring that up because many of us use our anger as an excuse not to worship. You gonna sing tonight? No, because she up there. And I'm telling you now, she look at me funny. This ain't the night to be messing with me. No, I ain't singing tonight. I'm telling you. Matter of fact, I don't even need to come tonight because they're gonna be there. And I'm telling you now, I love the Lord. But I ain't there yet. And they look at me. I better not even go. Even preachers say, look, you got it tonight. I can't even preach tonight. I'm too upset. You got it. So we use our anger as an excuse not to worship. But Moses goes straight to worship. And then another thing you got to see about it, with Moses, it wasn't all about work. I got to bring that up. It was about worship. And I'm afraid with many of us, it's about work. It ain't about worship. Many of us are here tonight out of obligation, not because we want to worship the Lord. We were on the same tonight. We got to be there.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock.